It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
What a week this has been with a story that we have been covering since Monday. ICE says we don't have enough room. There are legal and logistical reasons why we are, you can say, escorting, dumping, whatever word you want to use.
Dropping off
asylum seekers at area churches, area centers that are taking in these people. ICE says, you know what? We just don't have the room. We are not prepared for this. We talked to our news director, Martha Maurer, who spoke to the field office head of ICE here yesterday, and she got a lot of answers. But, man, this story is just this is not going to go away for a while.
So Martha Maurer asked, where are these people coming from? Is it Mexico?
The majority of the apprehensions, and I'm talking about people caught at the border, the majority of them are not coming from Mexico, even though our border is with Mexico. They're coming from Central America. It's higher than 80% are coming from Guatemala alone.
I didn't know that yesterday. I thought that was a shocker. I mean, we knew that they were coming from Central America,
right,
but 80% coming from Guatemala. So what is happening in Guatemala? I mean, is it what we hear? Is it the gangs? Is it people?
Is it violence?
Just being so poor that
right,
they cannot eat on a daily basis, that they have to come here. So we were thinking about this story, and somebody who popped into our head was our friend and former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, because Grant adopted a daughter from Guatemala. And actually, I think his daughter, I think it was 15 years ago, Matt.
Right.
I think his daughter went back there for the first time. So why don't we welcome in Grant Woods, KTAR. Grant, how are you, my friend? Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing all right. Thanks, guys.
So we found out over 80% of immigrants who attempt to cross the border into Arizona are from Guatemala. Your daughter returned to Guatemala for the first time since she left 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, she's there. She and Marlene are there right now. They spent the week there working at an orphanage. It's not the same orphanage where we got Ava, but it's an orphanage down there in the same vicinity. And so, yeah, it's quite an experience for her, I think. It's the first time she's been back. She was 6 months to the day when we got her, and then now she's 15 and a half. So, yeah, I think it's a real eye-opener for her. And I think it's, you know, we just thought it would be a great learning experience for her. And it's a chance for her to give back also. She's called Madrina now because she's going to sponsor one of the little girls in this particular orphanage.
Wow.
Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods joins us talking about the people and the experience of Guatemala. What is your wife telling you? What is your daughter telling you? Who are these people that are coming here claiming asylum, and why are they coming? Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah. Well, I think we have a little bit of insight. It's a pretty tough place. Ava's from Guatemala City, the outskirts there, and there are a lot of orphanages there. There's a lot of poverty, as you said, and a tremendous amount of violence. And I think one thing people need to remember is these people who are seeking asylum, they're doing it the right way. So this is not people trying to get here illegally. They're not crossing over the border in the middle of the night, you know, and bands of dozens or hundreds. They are presenting themselves for asylum. That's what we've told them to do. And they have a right then to have a hearing. And our country has always been a refuge for people if they are fleeing oppression or violence in particular. And I think the situation in Guatemala, it's been this way for a while. So basically, I would describe it this way. First, everywhere you go down there in Guatemala City and any place that has any population at all, you're going to see on every corner guys with machine guns. And you'll probably see not just one. If you just walk down the street, you're going to end up seeing literally dozens. And that's a variety of people. It might be the army. It might also be personal security that store owners have had to hire. But there are machine guns everywhere.
But why now? Why now, Grant? Why, if this is so poor, why didn't they start doing this like in the early 2000s or even earlier?
I think what's going on down there now is the violence is just, it's gotten out of hand. There are a lot of gangs, and then not only are there the gangs, and then you have the official government folks around, there are army people around. Then you have a number of families down there who have always been pretty powerful. Like you might have the family that controls the coffee industry, the cement industry, everybody's got their thing. Well, they have their own little private world and private armies. So all I can say is that if you don't have any money or any influence, then you're going to have to deal with men with guns. And those men with guns basically do what they want, and they take what they want. And I can tell you, they kill people with impunity. There really is no justice system down there. It's a combination of the gangs running the show or these families running their show and the government just existing there. So most people are poor, and that means they just have to take it, or they try to get out of there or get their children out of there so that maybe they can have a life where they don't spend their whole life living in fear of men with guns.
Right, right. Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods is joining us. His daughter, Ava, now she's 15, 16 now?
15 and a half, She's at Sunny Slope.
My goodness, I remember you holding her as a baby at Diamondbacks games. I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
I totally remember that, and now she's all grown up. She's back in Guatemala.
15 seasons.
Yeah, that's right. She's back in Guatemala just for the first time since she left 15 years ago. So Grant, as a guy who was the former Arizona Attorney General, I mean, how do you deal with a situation like this? Because I think all of us are like, oh my goodness, we'd probably do the same thing if we were in Guatemala. We'd want to leave and we want to come to the United States. But on the other side of it, we just can't take everybody in. So what are we supposed to do as a country?
I think as a country, we take the people in like we always have who are fleeing this sort of violence and oppression. We have room. We can do it. And we're set up for that. And we just got to continue to be that sort of country. We always have been. We've always taken people from around the world. At another time, they might have been from Italy or from Ireland. They might have been Asian. Things change. Right now, they're from this part of the world, and our country has always brought them in. Again, we can't take everybody, and if somebody is presenting themselves, and as I think I heard in the newscast, and they're just saying that they're poor, that's not going to cut it. Okay.
Okay.
But it's more than that in Guatemala in particular. So if you have people around the world, we can change that. We can become a different sort of country. But what we've said is you come here, you present yourself, you make your case that you can't live free. We got to remember who we are. We're Americans. And we have said from day one in this country that every person has a right, a God-given right, not given by government, but God-given right to live free. Right?
Right.
And that's what we said, and to pursue happiness on your own. So if that's not the situation and you present yourself, we have a court here. The court will hear your case, and if it's true, we'll take you in. We've always been that way. I don't want to change that. It's worked pretty well for throughout our country's history, and these immigrants end up being tremendous people, and that's, I think, why our country's been so great. So we can make room. If it's not legit, if it's just because they're poor or, then that's probably not going to work. We can't take everybody, but we can take those who are politically oppressed or the victims of violence.
Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods joins us. His adopted daughter from Guatemala is back there with mom, and they are giving back. They're sponsoring a little girl right now. Let's switch gears a little bit, come back home. The eulogy you gave at John McCain's memorial was just
breathtaking.
Thank you. It was unbelievable, the stories and the way you talked about the man. And you've been a longtime Republican. So why did you decide to endorse and be in an ad for Kyrsten Sinema, who's running as a Democrat for Jeff Flake's seat?
Yeah. Well, you know, I couldn't have hung around the Maverick for my whole life and not, you know, have a little bit of a rub off, right?
Right, right,
so
right.
I didn't spend my life, you know, around just some straight arrow. I was around a guy who said you put country first, and that's what I'm doing. I put my country first, period. And I kind of have this crazy idea, and I've had it for a long time. I don't really care that much about the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. They don't like to hear that. People get all wrapped up in it. I'm increasingly unconvinced they stand for much at all, frankly, other than their own self-preservation. So I have a crazy idea. I just try to pick the best candidate. And I think Kyrsten Sinema is a tremendous candidate. And I think that this campaign that the Republicans have run against her is disgraceful. It cheapens the whole thing. I haven't seen a positive ad by Martha McSally. You know, she's got a long record. She's been in Congress. She's been in the military. Talk about yourself and what you want to do. But no, we just got to come up with every cheap trick in the books. And it's not just her campaign. How about the Harold Tipperini running against Debbie Lesko for Congress? And you know, Harold's a doctor. And now there's these signs up all over, everywhere she looks, with her family, her husband, he's a doctor also, and it says fake doctor next to all of her signs. Think about that. She's a doctor. What are these signs? It says fake doctor.
It's like most of these signs.
It's just a flat lie, but now it doesn't matter what you say, apparently. So someone like Harold says, wait a minute, I am a doctor. What is this fake? Well, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore, apparently. You can just say or do anything. And so, you know, I don't know what to tell you, except I'm going to continue to I'll support the best person. If that person's a Democrat, then
interesting.
Good for them. Who cares, really?
All right, Grant, I think
we put our country first. That's what I would advise people to do. Just do something crazy. Pick the best candidate.
Boy, isn't that amazing? It sounds so easy, and it really should be, but it's just not.
It is.
I know. All right,
no,
Grant.
It is.
Grant, good to talk to you. Tell Kyrsten Sinema to come on the show. We're waiting for her to call us back. We'd love to have
her. Is that right?
We are. So,
okay, we're going to do. Hey, can I tell you one more thing?
Sure.
Okay, I just want to tell you this back to the Guatemala thing.
Sure.
Because people tell us all the time, boy, you know, you really changed that little girl's life, that baby's life, when you brought her here. And obviously that's true. But the miracle of it was, this is why I just encourage people to adopt and to look into adoption. The miracle was that, you know, our little family here in Phoenix, this little baby from just a godforsaken place, a terrible, terrible, violent place, this little baby came into our lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and just lit up our family, lit up our lives forever. Mm. I mean, that's the miracle. We were the ones who were blessed here. Her life was changed, but think about that, how right here in the middle of our town, here could come this little baby from Guatemala City and just change everybody for the better for the rest of our lives. So
here, here.
That's what we've taken away. And it's you know, in rough times, it's time to count your blessings, right? And we're all pretty blessed.
Thanks, Grant. Good to talk to you.
Okay, guys. See you later.
All right. Grant Woods, former Arizona Attorney General. Mac, I think you share that feeling with Grant. You have two kids who you adopted. Totally changed your life.
Oh, yeah.
For the better. For the better.
Yeah. I mean, they're not from another country. They're from
not.
In Arizona.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, again, it's just the value that these kids provide you as a family. You're not doing them a favor, which I hate to use. They do you the favor.
Sometimes you think you're saving the kid's life,
but
the kids are making your lives
better.
There
you go.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks again to Grant Woods. Coming up next, is a Valley HOA anti-military? In a second.
It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You know, we just talked to Grant Woods. And by the way, if you missed the interview, subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast. Text the word podcast to 411-923. Grant Woods, former Arizona Attorney General, very smart man, adopted a little girl. He and his wife adopted a little girl from Guatemala, so he knows a lot about that country. But I want to go into what he said after the fact when we asked him, Look, you know, you worked for John McCain since you were in your mid-20s. I mean, you were always part of the Republican Party. But why did you decide to be in an ad for Kyrsten Sinema, who's a Democrat? And he said, hey, look, the old man rubbed off on me. Do something crazy. Why don't you try to elect or vote for the best candidate, not just party? Boy, what a concept.
I mean, that's what I do. That's what I do. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I care about your views. But there are certain elections where you know, you could go over like you go over the Trump Hillary, okay? That election, we all knew we weren't going to vote for a good person. That was one of the worst two choices I could have ever imagined. But you know, you're still an American. You have the right to go ahead and vote, and you try and do the best that you can, and you try and pick the person who you think is going to be the best. Most times, I really don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I just try and pick the best person. Interesting with Grant, though, you know, you have politicians that just can't do that. Like, if you're in the Republican Party, you're not even allowed to talk to a Democrat anymore. I mean, that's what
unless you're Jeff Flake, which means you're not running for office.
That's why
he crossed the aisle.
Well, because Jeff Flake, you know, made a great argument for what he did for term limits. I think we need term limits. I think we need an independent party that's, you know, that actually
like
makes
party,
money.
You mean?
A third party. Yeah, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's just being a Republican or being a Democrat. I never wanted to do that. I don't need to back somebody up because there's an R or a D next to their name. But most people do. That's how most people roll. It's just not me. But, you know, Grant Woods, let's see if he runs for Senate.
Yeah.
If he runs, he's going to have to run as a Democrat, though.
Right.
He's not going to run as a Republican. He said that flat out. But he's going to have to run as a Democrat. Why? Because the money is there and it'll help him. If he runs as an independent, they're not going to be any money. So, coming up next, we want to continue talking about how ISIS dropped off hundreds of immigrants right here in the Valley. They're claiming asylum. Well, KTAR reporter Nylea Leon, she's spoken to several of these immigrants, and the reason why they came to America, big surprise, next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos. Arizona's Afternoon News, KTAR News, TAR News, 92.3 FM.
We've been following this story all week. KTAR News has been following the tragic story of Guatemalan immigrants just being dropped off, not a couple, not 10 or 20, but by the hundreds, not only in Phoenix, but around Arizona. And because ICE is dropping these people off, what are these churches doing? What are these people doing? Well, we've actually spoken to several immigrants and the reasons that they came here. And our own KTAR News reporter, Nylea Leon, has talked to these people. Nylea, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys.
So you spoke to immigrant families who were dropped off by ICE. And is it at the First United Congregational Church?
Yes.
Who did you speak with and where are they from?
Basically, I spoke to two women and one man. They're from Guatemala. They've been here for maybe 22 to maybe 3 days here. Some of them came by bus. Some of them came by foot, and they come with their kids as well.
All these people you've spoken with, they have their children with them right now.
Yes. Two of the women, one of them was actually a widow. She came with her 3-year-old child, I believe, and then all of them had one kid with them. So, yeah, they brought their kids along through the journey. The guy that I spoke to, he was walking by foot from Guatemala for 10 days, and he's been here for 22 days now.
Mm. Nylea Leon is joining us. She spoke to immigrant families who were dropped off by ICE here in the Valley at the First United Congregational Church. Okay, so two women with families, one man also with family. What's the reason they came to the United States? Is it what we hear about Guatemala, the crime, the gangs? Why did they come here?
So surprisingly, when I started interviewing these people, I would have expected for it to be the violence and just everything that they go through back in Guatemala, but that wasn't the case when I spoke to all of them. Yeah.
What was the case?
The main case was that they're poor. All of them, that's the same word they used every time I interviewed them. They're poor. They don't have money to send their kids to school. They don't have a job to sustain their home. The woman that I spoke to told me that she left her country and she didn't leave behind a home. Because she didn't have one.
Where did she live? On the street?
She lived on the street before she came here. So she really didn't have anything to bring with her.
Goodness.
If it's poverty and not violence that we hear about El Salvador, the MS-13 gangs wanting, you know, boys to come into the gang, and if not, they're killed.
It seems like an urgent reason to leave.
Exactly. That it's almost like a war-torn country or almost like a civil war going on in El Salvador. Is Guatemala pushing these people here or saying, hey, just go to America. We can't really support you. Or is it something else?
What did the families tell you?
So from what I got from the family was I asked them, did you hear that maybe there might be buses bringing over here people? Is it a case where they're telling you, hey, there's buses bringing people to the border where they can help you? And they're like, no. Even one of the guys that I asked, he got really, I guess, defensive when I told him that. He's like, no, they don't even provide for anyone. It's not the case here. The country doesn't help us out when it comes to that.
Or give them advice on leaving and going to America?
Exactly. No. He's like, I did this on my own. Hmm. I came here because I had to, because there's nothing else that I could do.
There's no opportunity.
There's no opportunity.
Them.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
So ICE has dropped off hundreds of immigrants here in the Valley. We've been talking about it all week. KTAR reporter Nailea León has spoken to several of these immigrants at one of the churches. So what problems did they face getting to the border? You said everybody that you talked to was from Guatemala. And what problems did they encounter with a border patrol?
So interestingly, the woman that was the widow that I spoke to, she told me that once she reached the border, she obviously was in jail for a couple of days, but they took her stuff away. They took her money away. When she asked them to give her back her stuff, when she crossed over to Arizona, obviously, they didn't give her back her items. She came here with no money, no shoes. She even explained to me, she's like, I don't have any shoes. I don't have any clothes.
So at the border, she had money and some clothes and some shoes. She was put in a detention center, and the money and the clothes and the shoes were never given back to her?
Yeah.
Is that normal?
It's not normal when you're arrested in jail as a U.S. citizen.
I mean,
they take your stuff.
You should get your money back.
Well, yeah, and they should give you all your valuables back that you walked into the jail with. I don't know if ICE is doing this on purpose or if this is just, again, ICE is so overwhelmed from what we understand. Maybe they lose. I have no idea. But that does sound odd that ICE would say, nope, that's all mine, and would not give a woman back her own shoes. That just sounds odd to me.
When you go home tonight, you lay your head down on the pillow and you think about what you went through today, going to a church, seeing people that don't have a home, what are you going to remember most?
Just looking at all those families where it's like, I'm Hispanic. I get to see all these people with their kids, especially their kids. I mean, I understand that you would want to bring your families over here to give them a better living, but I just don't know if I could go through bringing my kids through such a long journey just because they told me that they suffered from hunger, sleepless nights. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to see these kids.
The struggle
that they go through just to get here. And then especially the woman that told me that she is here with nothing. I think that's really heartbreaking for me.
Let me ask you, though, and this sounds kind of cruel, but again, the stories and the reports that we read, we don't know what is true and what is not true. From what I read, if you are a woman with kids, you get better treatment and you have a faster track than, say, 26-year-old man from Guatemala or Mexico and claim asylum and say, I'm just by myself, that if you bring a child, at least you get a faster track or an easier track, not to diminish what they've gone through. Is that the case? Have you heard those stories as well?
It could be the case, but I didn't see it when I went to go interview them. I don't believe so. Obviously,
nobody said it would be easier if I brought my kids to stay in the United States.
No. The main reason is what from the women that I spoke to was because they want their kids to go to school. That's the main thing. They bring them over here because when they were in Guatemala, they can't provide. Sometimes you have to pay to send your kids to a better school. So at times they don't even want to send them to a school where it's like they're not going to get the best education that they can get.
KTAR reporter Nylea Leon is joining us. She spoke to immigrant families who were dropped off by ICE at the First United Congregational Church in the Valley. Where are the people that you talked to today headed? Are they staying in Arizona or are they leaving?
No, most of them are leaving. They are actually leaving tonight. So the man that I spoke to, he's headed to Tennessee. I think he got his ticket from his brother-in-law that they're sending him off tonight.
Okay.
Two of the women are actually headed to the East Coast where the hurricanes are going on. So
wow.
One of them is going to South Carolina and the other one is headed to Florida. So they actually had their tickets for this week, but they had to delay them because of the hurricanes. They weren't able to be sent out.
If they don't have a family member here, where do they go?
If they don't find a family member, I actually don't know what happens to them.
They probably can stay, I would assume, at the church as long as the church can support them, I would
think. Or a shelter.
Right.
Try and get a job, start making a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that, though, with no ID?
The people that you talk to, do they speak any English?
No, they
None.
Don't. No.
So you spoke to them in Spanish?
Yeah, I spoke to them in fully Spanish. Not a word. I said, actually, good morning. And they just
nothing.
Look at nothing. None of them speak any fluent English.
Nylea Leon speaking to several of these immigrants. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
So ICE continuing to drop off immigrants here in the Valley. And these people are claiming asylum. And so,
but it's not necessarily for violence. I thought it was all about gang related. What Nylea has found is that they are such abject poverty. They can't provide food. They don't have shelter.
Well, just keep in mind, she talked to a few people
mm-hmm,
who said
right.
that. So I don't know if the majority of people are saying it is because of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess the majority of people say it's violence, but the people she talked to said we can't feed ourselves.
Right.
And we got to go. And they came
this is
to
the only choice.
The United States.
And education.
Claimed asylum. Education. Absolutely. All right. Coming up next, Ducey wants Arizona to be a hotbed for self-driving cars. Is this the right move for Arizona? Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Big 4-4 coming up at 4 o'clock. Four big blockbuster stories.
I like how you said that.
Thank you. Yeah. Including the Arizona Democratic Party has given up on David Garcia.
Oh, it's official.
It's official, and we have proof. That's coming up at 4. Doug Ducey has basically said Arizona's all in. We are all in on one particular thing. And yesterday he signed an executive order establishing the newly created Institute for Automated Mobility, or IAM.
It's self-driving cars. I mean, this is something that Ducey likes. He brought it here early. I know that most of us, you know, when we think of self-driving cars, and we remember the accident, the fatal accident. What did it say? Was it in March? It was an Uber that ran into a jaywalker on Mill Avenue in Tempe. And, you know, Ducey has been a supporter of Uber in Arizona. Listen, I think the one thing we've got to get past is that self-driving cars are going to be perfect on the road. They're not. They're not. They're supposed to be better.
Neither are we perfect on the road, by the way, either.
They're supposed to be better than us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if the technology's there. I hate that a person had to die, that a person died in any car crash, whether it's self-driving or it's, you know, a drunk on the road or it's
right. But
you know,
aren't you surprised, though, that I thought he would hold off on this after the reelection if he's reelected. I thought he wouldn't make this full determination because there is some controversy as to how much does Uber have to disclose? How much does Waymo have to disclose? How much regulation is there? He's saying we're all in on this. Arizona is going to be like the Silicon Valley or the Wall Street, if you will, of automated cars. I thought he would have held off until December.
I don't think it matters what he does between now and the election. He's up by so many points.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were just saying, you know, the Democratic Party quit on Garcia, who pretty much quit this race a couple weeks ago. So I think if he thinks it's good for Arizona, he's going to run with it.
And he's got three universities and a bunch of smart people behind it.
Is it good for Arizona? I don't know, but I think
jobs.
I think it could be.
Yeah.
And this is the future. Self-driving cars. You know what's not the future? Light rail.